Amen. 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 We're continuing our series on why are people so crazy? Why are people so crazy? Let's go back to our foundation text. I don't want to read that no more. I don't care. I don't care. Let's read it and read it again. Because what that ought to do, hopefully, many things ought to come out of that, whatever the Holy Spirit decides to do within your personal life. But there is to be more understanding for other people, more compassion for other people, deeper prayer for other people. Just why folks are the way they are, as we continue to go over this ad nauseum, ad infinitum. That 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men, that means mankind, the human race, will be lovers of self. And notice the definite, they will come, they will be, this is definite without a doubt. Will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, then lovers of God. And these are those, when the folks who look like Christians, they'll hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Verse 13 goes on to say, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's one of the reasons why they're going to go from bad to worse, because they're being deceived. When you can be told that your biology doesn't matter the way God made you. Wow. And then you can say, well, that doesn't matter if it's what I say, not who, how God made me. That's clearly being deceived. Amen. Clearly. Amen. Wow. And you can torture, murder, dismember the most helpless creature in what used to be the most safest place on the planet, the womb, and you can do it by the millions per week, and you believe that that's okay, that's going from being deceived and deceiving and being deceived. We're seeing this literally happen. We know the word of God is true. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. This is truth here. Yeah, people are crazy because their minds have been damaged. Their minds and hearts and understanding have been darkened by sin. And so therefore the lie can be told, no matter how ridiculous and how outrageous the lie. Wow. They'll believe it. You can literally say, I am a man, even though you're a woman, and we're going to try to reorder all of society because of your statement. That's a damaged, darkened, short-circuited, lights-out mind. That's what sin did. And I keep reminding us, and such were all of us before Christ. We talked on it last week by way of review. That's why redemption, comma, being born again, being regenerated, whatever word, being saved, whatever word you want to use, includes first and foremost the Lord performing surgery, if you will, some sort of renovation and construction, whatever term you want to use, on our inner being, our innermost being, namely our spirit, heart, and mind being. And we looked at several scriptures on that. Deuteronomy 30 and 6 says, so that you will love the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, because he's going to circumcise your heart. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a new heart to know that I'm the Lord, and they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jeremiah 31:33, this is the covenant that I will make. I will put my laws within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I'll be their God. Jeremiah 32, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. One heart, one way I will give. Ezekiel 36, I will sprinkle clean water and they will be clean. And I will give a new heart, a new spirit I will put within them. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Redemption then, salvation then, being born again, being regenerated, being saved then, results in a total transformation of our entire being. Hear the word transformation. That's why Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder ought to be able to see a Christian. In other words, it ought to be that obvious. You get that, what I'm trying to say. It ought to be that obvious. Because the before and the after are clear in Scripture. The old man, the new man. The new self, the old self, the new self. Before Christ, how we were. After Christ, how we were. Redemption, salvation, the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives results in the total transformation of our entire being. Well, why does it have to be that? Because with sin, we were totally depraved. And that was throughout our entire being. Every thought, only evil continually. Every intention, only evil. I want us to hear the word transformation. Redemption totally transforms our entire being. We are completely changed. However, or how this happens, the total transformation through redemption, is through the resurrection of what? Our spirit. That's what I want you to get. I know you know this, but I'm just trying to put it in a capsule. The total transformation that takes place happens through the resurrection of our spirits from the dead. And you can see that because once the spirits are alive from the dead, there's a whole package that came with that. New way of thinking, new way of your intentions. All of that changes. Because all of that needed to be changed because sin damaged all of that. Amen. Can you see that?
Absolutely.
This is why the Lord had to do that. He had to go inside. And that's why external, if the preacher would just preach the word, that's why external water, H2O, can't change all of that.
Amen.
You can't put no water on a person. I'm talking about literal physical water. Sure, spiritual water was applied. But physical water does not change all that on the inside. It can't do it. Neither can some rabid confession just parroting what somebody tells you to do.
Emotional.
I mean, if you understand what salvation is, what redemption is, what regeneration is, which a lot of us don't, then you know this is ludicrous. That's why we're walking around here. Mirror unchanged me. Because we did this thing. Because the presbytery, the episcopos, the pastors are telling the congregation, this is all you need to do. And that's why they call it easy believism. They want to make it easy. When Jesus steadily said that the way is hard, the gate is narrow. We taught it on Wednesday. Remember two groups. There's those who are the narrow way enterers, and the hard way walkers, and the broad way enterers, and the easy way. Why are you trying to do the exact opposite of what Jesus said was hard? So that way is narrow. Remember, we taught it down in the basement. I remember trying to up against one of the poles trying to demonstrate. Narrow means that it is compressed. Meaning it's barely open. You have to like spring loaded. You go in, you can barely go in this way. You got to force your way through the narrow opening because it is so narrow that it is compressed and compacted.
Right.
There's no way that you can walk in there either this way with your baggage, suitcases, and I got this and I got that. The Broadway is a gateway. You go with that plus 10 other friends all across the road. And he's the way. The word for wide is gate and broad is the way. The word for broad means boundless. You can go all the way, any way you want to go. Do whatever what you want to do. There are no bounds. Are we not seeing that? And people are calling themselves Christians. The deceitful lie is that both ways have the banner over them, the way to heaven. That's the lie. They think if I go in the easy way, and if you look at both ways, you got dark, rainy, muddy, no luggage, you barely got clothes on, you barely almost need to strip naked to even get through there. And you got this sunny, bright Broadway. Take all your friends and family and just do whatever you want to do. No bounds, no limits. What you gonna choose? I'm going this way. You got to be born again, spirit raised from the dead, totally transformed to even choose this way. That's why few there be, excuse my King James, remember, rendering, few there be that find it. Few. Is right. Few there be. Salvation is monergistic. Mono, single, one. Energy. The energy of one. He's saved. That's why we're begging on our knees. Save little baby Theo. Save this person. Save my nephews. Save my cousins. Save my sister, my brothers, and please save, because I can't do it. Mm. Not a human in the world cannot, because we're all short-circuited and damaged. How can a short-circuited, damaged, dark-minded, only evil-thinking person do anything for another person? How? Boy, some of y'all need to be glad y'all weren't in church 40 years like I was. We learned a lot of wrong things. We were thinking that you can work your way into the kingdom. Perform this, do this, you good. We sound just like the Matthew 7 Pharisees. Did we not do this and did we not do that in your name? Did we not? Then Jesus will declare unto them, depart from me, get out of my face. I never, not for one moment in time, have I ever known you. I've told you many a time that one of the most frightening moments for a human being is when they die and they just know they're saved and their body begins to descend rather than ascend. The terror at that moment, I can't even begin to imagine what they're feeling as that body descends into the bowels of hell. Even me saying that sentence is highly offensive in today's evangelicalism. The bowels of hell. Why, you can't talk that. You'll scare all the people away. Good! Because then the ones he's truly resurrected from the dead will remain. Man, the fact y'all still here shows you, because you're like, this preacher crazy. I'm not coming back here. Most folk don't come back. They don't come back. Man, I'm done. I'm not going up in there. I've been told that he brainwashing people. He too strict. As if I wrote the Bible. I'm just teaching the Bible. What you're saying is, that, you know what, I really don't want you to teach the Bible to me. I want you, or not the parts you're teaching. I want you to teach things that tickle my fancy, that itch my ears, that are pleasing to me. That's what they're really saying. One person, when they saw me in person, they, oh, you're young. I thought you was an old person. So you teach so old. You teach like an old person. What they're really saying is, translation, you teach like a mature Christian. Yes, I think that's a compliment. We're not teaching the kindergarten. How can you grow? How will you ever handle the problems in life that you're handling? How will you ever handle it? And you know what? You ought to be super mad at me if I held this from you because I was afraid it would offend you. And it's, oh, that's too much. Ah, you can't really talk about slavery to black people. You can't talk about the bowels of hell. I mean, that's, after all, that's offensive. I mean, why would God send people that? You're trying to rewrite the Bible, which is idolatry and blasphemy. If you want that, then go to another church. Unfortunately, you can go to many churches, unfortunately, and find them that'll do that exact thing. It's all about how many behinds are in the seats, real talk. The Lord, there are people in the pulpit that the Lord has not transformed at all. That's the bottom line. That's really the bottom line. Spirits have not been raised. And the people of God, who are really people of God, really want to learn of the things of God, are not being taught. They're starving. And Lord, we pray that you remove either the pastors out of the pulpit or remove your people from that congregation and get them into another place immediately. Where the word is taught and lived out, beginning with the pastor. 1 Peter 3:1, be an example to the flock.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's one of the problems. We have pastors that are not examples. It's almost too many of them are, don't do as I do as I say. No. Redemption results in a total transformation, as only God can do it, because only God can resurrect the spirit from the dead. And at that point, you and I, if you're born again, have been totally transformed. Thank you, Jesus. Now our mind is different. Our thinking is different. Our intentions are different. Let's look at this in scripture. Look at Romans chapter 6. We're talking about being resurrected, our spirits being resurrected from the dead. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. I hope we see this in a new light and just fall on our knees and give God even extra glory and honor that he chose to do this. Look at Romans chapter 6. Father God, teach us in the name of Jesus. Let us hear with new hearing and understanding your word being taught today. Amen. Let us hear it afresh and anew. And be even more deeply grateful for what you've done. Oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame. Glory be to God. Blame that was on me and bore my wrath. We now stand forgiven. He stood accused in our place. We don't meditate on it enough. We don't. We really don't. Verse 3, Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Look at the word, the fourth word. Do you not know? The mind, we're going to get to it a little bit more in a moment. Just want to drop something on it. The salvation and understanding all comes through the mind, the understanding, the mental. It's perception. It's cognitive. Do you not know? We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. All of those things we're going to get to in a second. It's cognitive. And I hadn't seen it to that point before. That's why he had to totally transform us and put our mind and hearts in a position so that we can now know and understand the things of God. Because before we couldn't. It was impossible. I don't care how clearly And deftly someone was able to explain salvation and in God and so forth, we couldn't understand it. Our minds are burnt out. Circuit. Do you understand that? That's why Jesus said, don't cast a pearl before swine. It makes sense. They can't get it. Do you not know? Notice how he opens up with, do you know this? Have you been taught? Is your cognition, has it been fed so that you can know that all of us who've been baptized, we're not talking about water, I'm spiritually speaking, which means to be immersed into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death. Spiritually speaking.
Yep, it's not working.
So, here, act like this is Christ, a stick figure, Christ. And then I would have drawn one and where we were stuck inside of him. We were then submerged, immersed in him spiritually. So much so that God counted us one with Jesus so that when he died on the cross, we died. It is as if we paid for our own sins, but we didn't. It was paid for through Jesus Christ. Gotta meditate that. That's some serious grace and mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to count it done as if you died, Gregory Harris. I'm going to so unite you, submerge you, immerse you into my son so much so that when I see him on the cross, it's really, when I see you on the cross, even though it's really him, you're right there with him. So when we were baptized, when we were immersed into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore. So when he died on the cross, nails in the hands, hung his head and died. No, first said it is finished. Then told his father, here go my spirit. Then hung his head and died. We were dead. When they pulled him off the cross and buried him in the grave, we were buried with him. He counts that one the same. Therefore, we were buried therefore with him by baptism, being immersed into death, spiritually speaking, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead on the third day by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. There's your definition of transformation. You now walk in newness of life. Amen. Newness of life. That's the transformation. Notice it came after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and us being died, buried, and resurrected with him. It says he was raised, we were raised, spiritually speaking, to walk in newness of life. That's transformation. I think a lot of the reason that so many real legitimate Christians don't walk in this newness of life is because they aren't being taught. Remember he said, don't you know? Do you know? No, we don't know. Speaking of cognition, James 1, count it all joy when you fall in these trials, knowing this. I got some understanding. Being saved doesn't mean you turn off your mind. Not at all. It's that you use it the correct way. Use it even more. Just using it for his glory. It's not about turning off your mind and just let him just tell you anything. What did the Bereans do? Just accept everything? No. Why are they brought out specifically in Acts, the saints from the city of Berea? They went home and studied to see if these things were so. Getting ahead of myself. I'm going to slip over into the cognition part where I'm still trying to get to the total transformation part. We're ways to walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. Well, sure. What he's saying is, if he has symbolically put us, united us spiritually speaking with Christ Jesus, period, then all that happened to him happened to us. Certainly is what he's saying. On the cross, he died, we died. Take him off the cross, put him in the grave, buried with him. He rose, we arose. He walks in newness of life, and so do we. Verse 6, we know, there's the word know again, cognition, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Can you see transformation in all of that, my saints of God? Amen. The people of God sitting here today?
Glory, hallelujah.
Can you see that? Yeah. And along how we're reading, the eyes are going down and reading, then come back up. You're seeing with your own eyes. Wow.
Right.
He said we were crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. It says that. We won't get to what exactly body of sin is, but we can best believe that the power of sin was broken. That's what we need to understand. The penalty of sin is gone. We're no longer, and the wrath of God is no longer hanging over our heads. So the power of sin is broken. The penalty of sin is gone, but the last P, not yet, the presence of sin is still here. Right? When I try to do good, evil is present with me. That won't happen until what stage?
Glorification.
Ah, preacher. Glorification. Then when glorification comes, the presence of sin, the final P is gone forevermore.
Yes, hallelujah.
Ooh, where the organ at? Oh, da, da, da. Yeah. Presence is gone. No more sin forever. But thank God for the two P's. The power of sin and the penalty of sin, both have been broken by the blood of Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah.
When we talk two, three, is whatever, you don't have to sin.
That's right. We choose to.
Yeah, we choose to. Verse 6 again, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 11, skip down to verse 11, please. So you also must consider yourselves dead. Notice consider, reckon, that's through the mind again. Yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we have been transformed. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Ephesians chapter 2. April, I feel like running. Ephesians chapter 2. When the truths of God's word come alive in you, mm-hmm. in your inner man, yes. your inner being, boy, there's no brain joy. Oh, wow. Just a drop of revelation. Bam. Yeah. Can be life changing. No, you didn't do this on your own. No goodness of your own. You know, you and I, there is no human being good enough to reverse the short-circuited, blacked-out, darkened mind and heart and understanding. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not able in any way or any capacity. So what does that cause us to do? Give glory to God. Thank you, Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead. Dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, which means to order your lifestyle, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and what? The mind, that short-circuited, darkened mind, and were by nature, it was innate at birth, children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Ooh-wee, that was our state. That's us. There's not a one in here that can say, well, that wasn't me. As they used to say back in the day, you's a lie. Yes, you are. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out The desire. You know, the word carrying means it was done constantly, consistently, and continually without cessation. That's what that means in the Greek. We were constantly, consistently, and continually without stopping carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. The word children means birth. That's what's couched in the word children. And whereby nature at birth, innate, a part of us from birth, wrath, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Oh, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together. There's the resurrection with Christ. By grace you have been saved. There's a resurrection in Romans 3:6 talked about. Now we've been made alive. There's a transformation. And Romans 6 lets us know we've been made alive to walk in newness of life. Verse 1, verse 2, in which you once walked. Verse 3, among whom we once lived. We all once lived. Not anymore. Because we've been transformed. A total transformation. A total transformation. Now, remember that in Jeremiah 17:9, you know that verse here, the heart is deceitful above all and incurably sick. Who can understand that the answer is rhetorical? The question is rhetorical. Who can understand the answer is no one. Verse 10 then says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. Because you can't. How can somebody burnt out, short-circuited, darkened mind test their own mind? That's like a light bulb that's been burnt out, suddenly going to test itself to see if it can work. You need somebody external to that light bulb to do that. The Lord God is our tester. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, and I see that it is short-circuited and burnt out. And so I'm going to give you a new mind. I'm going to give you a new heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, someone may ask the question, the heart is desperately sick or incurably sick. Does that mean it's that way after we're saved? I mean, if it's incurable, I mean, what happens? Good. That's a fair question. When he says that the heart is deceitful above all and incurably sick, is that talking about the Christian? I'm going to say yes and no. Mostly no, but let me explain it. I'm going to say no, but let me explain it. Salvation, or whatever word you want to use, redemption, regeneration, being born again, cures the heart because he puts in a new heart. But the heart is fixed, he replaces it. We talked about a transplant, yes. However, we must understand that the transplanting of the heart, taking out the stony heart and putting in a fleshly heart, doesn't automatically mean that we're going to start acting perfect. In other words, it doesn't mean that, okay, I got a whole new, brand new heart here, so I'm going to do everything right. Doesn't mean that. I'm just saying, you may not be thinking that way, but someone may ask you, or someone might have been thinking that, well, if we got a brand new heart, then we good. You know, why do I still sin? Anybody got know the answer? Still got flesh. Nothing wrong with the heart. What the doctor did was great. The transplant works. The heart is pumping. But you still got flesh. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a new heart. He just took it out. Replaced it. But what's still there in our being is our flesh. Is our flesh. So although when we talk about heart, talk about, again, my, and I do, I say this on purpose, ad nauseum on purpose. When we talk about the heart, we talk about the mind, thinking processes, our will, our emotions, our intentions, our understanding, the thought processes, our intellect, all of that. Anything that deals with cognition and which leads to feelings and emotions, all that whole gambit is being covered when I talk about that. And when we were given a new heart, okay, before we were born again, when we were sinners, all of our thoughts and our intentions and our emotions and our understanding and our thought processes and the intellect was only evil continually. Genesis 6 and 5. That's all of us when we were not, when we were sinners. Now, after sin, when sin came, only evil continually. However, when we were redeemed or after redemption, then our thoughts were no longer and our intentions were no longer only evil continually. Only evil continually. She said sometime. But listen. What salvation did, what redemption did, what being born again did, was enabled us to choose good or evil. That's why they're not only evil continually. But the key word is only. Their sin knocked out the ability to think good. That's why the word of God uses a key word only. That's a key word in Ephesians, Genesis 6 and 5. The thoughts of man were only evil continually. Only evil. Now they can still be evil, but they can also be good. Our thoughts, our intentions, our understanding, our thought processes, our heart and so forth. And so what salvation did, redemption did, was restore our ability to think good. It restored our ability to choose good. It restored our ability to do good. So now we can do either good or evil. The choice is ours. We can now do good or evil. We can think good or evil. We have the ability to do those things. We can choose to use our hearts for God's glory or for Satan's evil. If we use it for God's glory, what are we commanded to do with our heart? The first thing, most thing, love the Lord our God with it. And now we can do that. Amen. Why? Because we've been completely transformed. So let that marinate for a moment. When we were sinners, we could only do evil. That's what sin did. When we're born again, regenerated, we can now do good or evil. We can think good or evil. Our thought process, we can use it for good or evil. Now we have the power to choose. The power of choice. And we have the power, the ability, the might of God at our disposal to do good, to think good, to choose good. We've been completely transformed. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We get ready to close. It's a lot to meditate on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, remember, been baptized into Christ, submerged into Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That is that not a complete transformation there? The old has completely passed away. Remember, new creation means a new species of being that never before existed. That's a complete transformation. That's total transformation. And I'm stressing that. I believe the Lord is stressing that because we need to look at our lives. Are our lives exhibiting clearly like the noonday sun, reflective of a total transformation that the world can't help but see? And I'm not saying they don't understand it, but they just like, man, something about you, you different. Do you understand that? If you can't say a resounding yes, then that's a problem. Because quiet as it kept, people are your report card. Because he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see. And they'll see it by saying, you know, I don't want to be around you. Because you know, you always talking about that Jesus stuff. Well, that's a good shine. Amen. Well, you know what, I am in a heartbeat because I can trust him with everything I got. Like Joseph. Potiphar said, man, hey, man, thank you. I trust you. We put you in a position, you know, because we've seen your work. Amen. You can work here for 100 years. We just Dietrich about 100 years. How many years were you there?
40
years. You don't stay there just being a bad employee. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. And now it's some of his classes first. They're not having it. Mm-hmm. Your light ought to be that clear. Mm-hmm. Either attract or repel. It's supposed to do something. But if they just tell you, join us, you cool with us, hanging out, we boys, we girls, or whatever it is, that's a problem. If the ones saying that are sinners. If you're a new creation, a new species of being that never before existed, and the old has gone away and the new has come, in verse 18, and all things are now from God and none from Satan, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, then it ought to be that clear. From family to friends and enemies, everybody ought to know clearly that you have been transformed by the power of God. Mm-hmm. And you need to ask yourself, if that is not the case, then you need to get on your knees before the Lord. Because there's two things happening. I can say that with absolute assurance. One is there's sin in your life, and or there are weights that are hindering you, clearly. And those two are there more than likely because you still haven't developed that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of it is that's what's at the root of it. Still not don't know who he is. If you don't know who he is, you can't trust him, so you can't have the faith you need. And if you don't trust him, you're not going to follow him or obey him. And that's convicting. I look at my life by the grace of God. My wife and I were talking yesterday. The reason that I trust the Lord more, the reason that I've grown is because I trust the Lord more and more and more. There's a relationship that's just burgeoning and just blossoming. And that's done through constantly feeding on the word and obeying the word. That's how you get a relationship. No, like, it's not like, you don't do this. I'm going to have a relationship with God. And you decide on it and just say words. That doesn't even work in a human relationship. There must be effort, commitment, communication, a blossoming, getting to know and understand one another. But that's what it is here. Our vertical is broken and our horizontal can't work. Because if you aren't blossoming in your relationship with God, anything you do between any other human beings is going to be broken. Because at the root of it is your relationship here. The understanding you are a brand new creature that never before existed. And that everything and that's a part of that creation is from God. Verse 18. Really, remember that number 18 was added to just, you know, that's where they stuck it. But that's all, you could have all made that one verse The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this, the new nature coming, old passing away, new species being coming, all of that is from God. None of that is tainted with evil. It's nothing but pure. You're the process, the happening, the event that regenerated. Regeneration, redemption is an event that was performed by God on us. It's a one-time event. And it is a miraculous event. A miracle we tend to overlook way too often. The greatest miracle ever performed is us being raised from the dead and becoming new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We tend to overlook that miracle. Everything else is secondary. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about this transformation next week, Lord willing. Oh, Father God, you are so gracious toward us, so merciful. We don't get you, we don't understand you, so we don't worship you like we should, we don't live for you like we should. We're half-stepping, sometimes not even stepping, meaning living for you. We take you for granted. We take you lightly. Just not a big deal. And it's a shame when everything that's good comes from you. And if we're born again, all of that is from you. All of that is because of you. All of that is by you. For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what we need to lock in on, Father. That's what we need to lock in on. Help us to forgive us of just being just cavalier, capricious. Just no big deal. Help us to take our walk more seriously with you. To really get to know you. And the way we get to know you is to obey you. That's how we develop our faith in you, our trust in you, is by obeying you. And when we obey you, then we'll get to know you. And when we get to know you, we'll trust you. We'll follow you more and more. Thank God, that you're not us, because you're tired of us. You say, you know what? I'm pressing the red button. Forget it. Oh, but God, Father God, you are rich in mercy. And your mercies, anthropomorphically speaking, are new every morning. We know they don't get old in the beginning, but just for our sake, we're so frail and weak and of dust. You let us know, hey, they're new every morning. They're fresh, like fresh baked bread every morning. Help us to live for you at all costs. Yes, help us. You are our helper. Help us to live for you for real, for real. Stop, but to stop playing with you. Live for real for you. At all costs. Because one day, Father God, I know your mercy will run out, in a sense, on individuals. Because you are a God of wrath. You really are. And we better understand that. It is a fearful thing to fall into your hands. You said that about your own self in your own word. Help us to be reverentially in awe of you, but also shaken in our boots, terrified of you. Because you deserve both. Forms of being in awe. There is no God like you. There is no Father like you. May your will be done on earth amongst your people as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen.